or something, eh?
A little more something, and the cats doing nothing. Lames came frontin', hit him with the bruh button. Freddy said he cutting, Betty said he stunting. Got much hits is a picture that button.
First draft fantasy in the house. You know what time it is? It's draft season. That's what time it is. Hope you guys had a great Easter. Hopefully, I didn't see too many April Fool's jokes. So, you know.
Yeah, Russ had a change of heart and restructured his contract. Gave some of that money back.
I wish.
I saw Broncos traded for Zach Wilson.
That might not even be end up being an April Fool's thing.
That might actually happen.
It might happen at draft.
Well, when
draft.
When Jose sent that, I actually went and looked and typed in Cortland Sutton's name because that's normally how I confirm this stuff. And the only thing that popped up was an article that talked about a possibility of a trade sending him to the Jets for Wilson in a pick. But that was when I read that article, I thought it was silly. So
I can see day three of the draft, all of a sudden it's like, oh, Zach Wilson traded to the Broncos for a sixth or seventh round pick. I really, at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they even need to give up that much to get him.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to tank this year either way, so.
Might as well get the best tanker of them all.
Yeah.
Or is that when he finally turns into that number one draft pick he was?
Maybe. I mean, what else do you got to lose?
His team. More of, who's your guys' owner? Is it Amazon or is it the Walmart?
Walmart.
Just waste more Walmart money.
I got enough money. We're good. Okay.
Just waste more of it. That's what I'm
saying.
We're
good.
Waste it.
No.
We're getting new uniforms, all right? The money's going to good use.
All right. The biggest news of the week, though, is the fact that the WWE hit up Jason Kelce to appear possibly for WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia.
That's guaranteed to happen now.
I hope so. That would be very entertaining.
What's going to be the signature move?
It's got to be tush push somehow.
Someone's going to be down there.
No, the news was, unfortunately, Rashee Rice being dumb. Yep. I think I can safely say that one way or another.
Yep.
Yeah, there was a six-car accident with his registered vehicle. And no one was seriously injured, thankfully. But yeah, there is now video of him and his boys leaving the scene of the crime. The police were looking for him for a good portion of the day. And yeah, there's a lot to unpack with that.
He is cooperating now.
He got his lawyer, that's when he was cooperating. You know.
And it happened in the best state it could have happened in, Texas. So maybe he might not do time or anything like that.
I don't even want to go that far.
It's just, it's hard because it's like, I'm pretty sure we can all safely say that we really did dumb stuff at 22 years old.
100%.
So, allegedly. But, you know.
Oh, mine's not alleged. I know I did stupid
but you,
stuff.
But you gotta think about these things, especially when you have a high-profile job like this. So, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see what happens with that.
Pure speculation. He was speeding, racing somebody because he crashed a Lambo. And let's just say, yeah, he lost control of a very powerful vehicle and
just left it there on the road.
Yeah.
And just said, I'm walking away.
Yeah.
And I laugh about this, and I don't think it's right. I'm just laughing to nervous.
I think it's easier to like kind of make jokes because nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody like the internet was making jokes when Henry Ruggs situation happened, but that's, you know, that internet. One's a different case, so but yeah, such a talented receiver, somebody that people were going to be high on going into fantasy drafts next year, people are high on in dynasty leagues. And now you're seeing it's unfortunate, but you also, this is the time period where people are throwing out offers, seeing what will stick for someone with him, since there's such uncertainty of, will he be suspended? Will he face any potential jail time? I know I got an offer to trade him away for like the 201. And I had to think about it.
But it's way too early. You don't know what's going to happen.
That's right the now. Thing is like, because he's so talented and what he showed rookie year, you don't. It's hard, but like at the same time, if he does get suspended, if he does get in trouble, you know, it could be time to capitalize on it. It's just hard to say right now, but yeah, well, we have to kind of wait and see what the judicial system says. Mm-hmm. And then the judicial system of Roger Goodell, what he says. Like I was saying before we started recording, though, this is one of those ones that was recorded from someone's dash cam and then recording, seeing him walk away. And usually the NFL punishes harsher for video evidence. Videos. So
that's because it's evidence. Pure as daylight.
It's still just so wild to me, though, that like this stuff happens and it's usually like a 4-6 game suspension, but you bet $1,000 like Calvin Ridley and you're done for a year. Like
that is when you put it in that kind of situation, it shows you the messed up part of the NFL punishment.
Yeah,
because it's one of those two. Think about it, if he just wore the wrong sock color, he gets fined $25,000, and there's a chance he may not get fined. He might lose game check, but in terms of fines outside the law, it's craziness.
Gotta wait and see. But yeah, in other Chiefs news, Clyde Edwards-Helaire re-signed with the team today for a 1-year deal.
They also have a J.K. Dobbins visiting.
I think because of Clyde, it's not gonna happen. Oh, but we'll see.
This was my insider who's a Chiefs fan telling me that he was there. So
he did visit. And that news came out before that Clyde Edwards. I think it's somewhat significant. I mean, they don't have Jerick McKinnon there anymore.
That's where you could see him still chasing a JK, just because you could get him on such a cheap deal.
I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be the guy there.
Yep.
But Edwards is going to get some work. I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't think I have any other news. You guys have any
They
other
also
news?
Signed... A former
the rugby guy.
There's the rugby guy, but the once upon a time MVP candidate Carson Wentz is now the starting quarterback of the Chiefs.
The starting. You heard it here first.
The starting quarterback Carson Wentz over Mahomes.
Also,
RIP. I can't believe he's just added more stuff to his garb for his end of career, so he can like wear like a. Arm sleeve on
each
one.
Trying to hang on, all right?
Sorry.
Just end his career already. Like our fallen Vontae Davis, who famously quit at halftime, retired, said, screw this, I'm out.
Yeah, he unfortunately passed away, I believe, at the age of 35.
Yeah.
Pretty young.
And it's crazy. Only a few years older than us.
Found in the gym.
Was it the gym?
Mm-hmm. I saw that today.
Gym of his house?
Of his house, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, prayers up to the family, because that's Vernon Davis's brother, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so, a lot of former players that played with him tweeted out, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Best wishes to the family through this hard time. Man, I can't really think of anything else, because we're basically into the portion where teams are gearing up for the draft, getting their draft boards going. And that's also what we're doing.
Yep.
We're going to start breaking down all of the players that have fantasy relevance. Today we start with the tight ends and quarterbacks. Usually this is the one that has the least amount, but there actually is a good amount of quarterbacks that are going to go in the first couple days of the draft this year. So, we'll talk about them, but we're going to start with tight end since there's really not a whole lot of stuff going on with tight end usually. Oh, but we do have somebody that we'll talk about in a little bit that may already be in the top 7-5 in terms of dynasty tight end rankings.
What?
Yeah.
Already? Wow.
So, yeah, we'll go
big,
ahead
big
and
talk.
Break this thing down. We have rankings from myself, Jose, and Hugo. Joshua got a little lost in the sauce.
I did. Busy.
Busy work week. And, you know.
Procrastination, never good.
Just refused to rank them, huh?
Well, I was procrastinating and planning on doing them.
On the spot rankings.
Yesterday.
On the spot rankings.
Oh, I've got my, I don't got tight end rankings, but I got my QB ones going.
All right, we'll get to QB here in a little bit. We all put 8 people that we want to talk about. I don't think we necessarily need to talk about all 8 because not all 8 are going to be relevant. But we'll talk about, you know, at least 4. Because, you know, there's some discrepancies in our lists, which is, you know, always good that we're not thinking the same.
Discrepancy.
You know, we can talk about Theo Johnson from Penn State. Jose has him at number 7. I have him at number 8. And Hugo, who I wish I could, you know, get his, why he has him so high, he has him at 3. My thing with that guy from Penn State is that he has really good, like, straightforward speed, but his lateral quickness, not so great, in my opinion.
Great size, too. One of the taller tight ends of the bunch.
Yeah.
6'6", 265.
23 years old. He was born in Canada, fun fact there. I'm trying to see if I can pull up his...
So you're telling me he's going for the CFL?
Oh, no. He ran a 4.57.
Solid.
10-yard split of 1.55, vertical jump 39.5. So he's athletic. But, yeah, I think just the tape that I watched, it was just the lateral quickness that made me not like him as much.
Not really a big play type of guy.
No. You know, I think he'll get some work, but he's not much of a blocker either. Yeah, it's hard to really get a gauge of him. I'm trying to think who you have high that you have higher than anybody else. Cade Stover, you have at number 4. Hugo also has 4. I have him at 5. Tight end from Ohio State. I feel like he's like the most prototype tight end. I don't know. He's got that big body, not afraid of contact. You know, 23 years old as well. So I'm trying to think if he worked out at the combine. He did. He ran a 4.65, 1.59, 10-yard split, 34.5 vertical. He had the production. It's just, I don't know, his athleticism is not there as much as some of the other guys. NFL Network or NFL.com has the NFL comparison to Jake Ferguson, which isn't bad because Jake Ferguson had himself a nice year last year. But a lot of these guys do not block.
Is that the new?
That's a big problem.
New tight end problem. No block.
Well, these guys are also in offenses with multiple weapons, and they're just asked to be certain type of play guys. You know, he's a good size. He'd probably learn how to block.
Yeah, but it's just like when you get to the NFL, you know, the coaches are not going to.
Yeah, these guys are not top round guys.
Yeah, you're not going to get playing time if you can't block while you're on the field as well.
Yeah, but that's kind of been one, I think, the biggest complaints of just in general of college football is blocking, because even though linemen come out not quite ready to block at an NFL level in terms of schemes, not necessarily like being able to, they're just not taught the way to block. Yeah.
But Cade Stover, 41 catches, 576 yards, and 5 touchdowns last year. The year before that, he had 36 catches, 406 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So, you know, he can get touchdowns, yards, kind of whatever. But he's also been at Ohio State, who's had great receivers, like you mentioned. So, is there anybody else that you definitely want to highlight, because I know for me, I really liked Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State. I don't know. He just seemed like, to me, he kind of was like more of a Kittle guy, where he just kind of knew where to be. He was athletic. He was hurdling people. Could block too.
He's definitely more of a chain mover on the offense, inside out.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with Kate Sinnott, or not Kate Sinnott, Ben Sinnott was, you know, he's playing at Kansas State, who doesn't have, you know, the greatest offense.
They're normally a very rush-heavy team.
Yeah.
Especially quarterback-wise.
But yeah, 21 years old, so he's a little bit younger than some of the other guys that we had already talked about. He is 6'4", 250 pounds. A little on the shorter side, but, you know, good size as well. He can run through tackles, which I like to see. It kind of depends a lot with tight ends, like the fit. Ran a 4.68 40, 40-inch vertical, so he had one of the highest verticals of the whole tight end. Was number 3 in terms of, like, production score with the tight ends of this group. I'm trying to see where his stats are.
Back to back, all Big Tens.
49 catches, 676 yards on 6 touchdowns. So,
he may not have been going to a tight end university, but he's from Iowa. So nearly tight end university.
I had a really tough time with my numbers 4 through 2. And where to put them, because there's another guy that me and Jose had really high, that Hugo had really low, and that is Eric All. He was Iowa, transferred over from Michigan, but he's had season-ending injuries both the last 2 seasons. For me, though, like, you watch his film, and he passes the eye tests like crazy. He was, you know, just athletic, can get up the field, break tackles. He just can't stay healthy. I think if he was healthy, I would probably have an argument for him at number 2.
Yeah, if you just watch his highlights, you'd think his stats were way more than they are. He just hasn't had the opportunity to put the snaps together.
Yeah, it's just because, like, some of the plays that he has where he's breaking tackles, getting down the field, they're some of the best highlights of the whole class. Including our number 1 guy, but, you know, he just can't stay healthy. That's kind of the main concern about him.
It's a tough one to deal with, too. Because if you deal with just this many injuries in college, it doesn't translate very well.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah,
usually does.
Yeah, so the person that we all have at number 2 is Jatavion Sanders. From Florida State. Was he from? No.
Took him Horns.
Jaheim Bell was the one from Florida State. Tavion Sanders, he's one of those guys that's just extra athletic. I think he kind of fits that, like, Evan Engram type kind of role or whatever you want to say with that.
Big yards, like, his average per catch is huge.
If he didn't have...
For being 15 and a half or 15.2 as a tight end.
Yeah, he's got big playability. And if he didn't have so much competition at Texas, he probably could have got 1,000 yards. 682.
2 touchdowns. He had 5 the year before, though. Yeah,
pretty consistent.
Yeah, 54 catches and 45 catches in the 2 years as a starter. Has that ability to break tackles, has the ability to outrun linebackers, be too big for safeties and corners.
Yeah,
I think he's a guy that you could see go in a day 2. I don't know how many of these guys really will go day 1 or day 2. The only one you could count on is our number 1 guy. But other than that, I mean, there's talent.
You never know.
That's the thing, yeah, like last year, Laporta, was he the number
one? I think one he off the went board? In the first round too, right?
No,
wasn't he one was of like the first ones?
He was one of the first picks of the second round.
Okay.
Who?
Laporta.
He was in the first round.
I thought he was too. I thought Detroit had Yeah, they used it on...
They had Gibbs, and then they got a linebacker.
I thought it... Oh, it was the linebacker, and then it was Laporta.
Yeah. So...
Was it... Maher wasn't...
I don't know where Maher went. I think he was the second round, too, because I thought he... I think we all thought he was going to be the first off the board.
Or did Buffalo pick one? Oh, yeah, Buffalo picked Kincaid, right? Kincaid
did go in the first.
Yeah, Kincaid was the first round.
Yeah. So, it's hard to say. Like, Laporta is talented, but he also got into a great spot in Detroit, you know, where they were just traded away Hockenson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of times these tight ends will go to places where it's not great. You know, we were all high on Darnell Washington last year, and then he went to Pittsburgh, and, you know, he got playing time, but he's behind Pat Freiermuth, who's a talented tight end.
Yep.
So it's just kind of all about where you go, where you land.
On a shitty offense.
Tight ends usually take time to develop as well, so it's like, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's year after year, you see it, like...
I think Pitts set the record a couple years ago with the most yards for a rookie, and that was like 1,008.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure if you put Jared Goff with Pitts, he'll do even better.
Oh, it's true. Now we got Kirk Cousins.
With Pitts, now you got even a better one. Kirk knows how to use a tight end. He loved it.
Our rookie rankings for the tight ends will get a lot more clear after the draft. This is kind of just based on what we're seeing in film, but yeah, it's just kind of, I mean, a lot of the rankings will get more clear after seeing that. But yeah, full breakdown of the quarterback tight end position. Jose's top eight was at 8, A.J. Barner from Michigan. 7, Theo Johnson from Penn State. 6, Dallin Holker from CSU. 5, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. 4, Cade Stover from Ohio State. 3, Eric All from Iowa. 2, Jatavion Sanders from Texas. And all of our number ones, Brock Bowers.
Undisputed, in a tier of his own.
Yeah. And Brock Bowers just, he, I think he even had like a, technically a down year from,
yeah,
from his previous year.
His touchdowns have been going down, and his yardage has alternated. 882 first year, 942 the second year, 717 the third year.
Yeah, I mean, part of that could be, you know, the change of quarterback with Stetson Bennett graduating and everything like that. But, I mean, those numbers just...
It's fairly consistent when you consider college numbers in general.
Second team All-Pro in 2021.
All-Pro? Damn.
All-American, my bad. All-American in 2022. And the John Mackey Award as a top tight end.
As crazy as a offensive weapon that he is, he doesn't really look... like the size he is listed at, 6'4", 240. He looks a lot leaner, a lot shiftier, and he's going to be an offensive weapon. He's not going to be a guy you put out there to block, really.
No, and I think part of the problem with this last year with him, too, and his numbers going down, they were using him a lot just in the flat and, you know, not really taking the shots down the field with him as much as they were the previous year. But even with those ones, he was catching it 2-3 yards with the line of scrimmage and still making something happen, getting yards, runs through tackles, physical guy. You know, he's the type of guy that's never going to be taken out off the field, you know.
High energy.
Say the NFL.com has him compared to George Kittle. I think I see more of like a TJ Hockenson personally, but I mean, he's a stud.
And how high are you going to draft him?
Like in fantasy drafts?
Yeah, NFL rookie
dynasty. NFL rookie dynasty.
Would you go top 5?
I probably would. You know, that tight end position, if you can get one of those guys that's going to be top of the league, you have...
He's 21 years old.
Yeah, you have this built-in, like, advantage over most of the other people in the league. You know, it's part of the reason why we're so high on Kyle Pitts, was he has that advantage if he can put it all together. So, you know, in like a super flex league with two quarterbacks, I think 5 is the highest I'm willing to take him. If it's a one quarterback league, though, I think I'd be willing to go 3. only behind Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers.
Dang, that's belief right there.
I mean, he's a stud.
I like it.
All-American 3 years in a row, so, you know.
Just needs a good landing spot now.
Exactly, yeah. That's what we're talking about, right? Their situation they end up in.
Okay, let's take a look at the...
What's the best landing spot you could think for him?
Yeah, because most people are projecting him to be at least a top 15 pick in the first round.
So the Jets would love to have him.
Jets would be a good landing spot, at least for... start out with Aaron Rodgers. We can take out pretty much the top three teams. They're not going to take him. Arizona, I think, will either trade back or take one of the...
They're too far away to take a tight end.
I mean, a great landing spot if they were to trade back would be the Chargers. Give Justin Herbert a guy like that, and, you know, that can be fantasy gold right there. Other than that, I don't know. I don't think Chicago would take him because they just got Gerald Everett and they still have Cole Kmet, who they paid money to. Jets, as you mentioned, is a good fit. I've seen some where he goes to the Broncos. That would not be a good fit, at least for his rookie year. But
it'd be awful, actually.
The Raiders did draft Michael Mayer early, so I doubt they would do that.
Tennessee?
I don't know if I love it with Will Levis. So I would say the Chargers would be my favorite spot out of the top 15.
I'm trying to think.
Unless the Colts traded up for him.
Well, that's what I was right. That's a team, but I was trying to think who they have, and they really don't have anybody. Unless, I don't know. As much as you want to maybe dog, Tennessee got Ridley, right?
Yeah.
I mean, build around that guy, that young quarterback you have.
They got a Conquo still. I think they still believe
they do. Yeah.
I just don't.
That and getting somebody, I guess, similarly built to Treylon Burks, too.
We'll see if Treylon does anything. Chargers for me.
But do you think because of that, he'll fall out of the top 15? Or do you still think he'll...
I think talent wins out.
Talent wins out, and somebody's still going to just do it, even though it's not a good fit for him. Or...
Well, a lot of it has to do with contract price, too, right?
Like, I mean,
depending on where they get picked. And a tight end is... different.
Yeah. Best player available, too, if you know. So, I don't think the Chargers do it because I think they're either looking at offensive line or wide receiver, but it's possible.
Yeah, that guy just got his back broken. Sorry. He literally, like, got hit and he was, like, falling backwards, like, broken back. Sorry.
Okay, and then we just talked about, you know, where would you take him in a fantasy, like, rookie draft for Dynasty. Right now, what tight ends would you take over him in the NFL, like, for your Dynasty team?
Laporta.
Yeah, Laporta, Andrews.
Kittle.
I mean, and...
Goddard? Sounds like no more. I mean...
Kincaid.
Sorry. I would take Hawkinson.
You would take Kincaid over him?
I wouldn't take... I wouldn't.
No, actually, I would not.
I think for me, it would probably be Laporta, Andrews. I think.
That's it, right?
Possibly. I mean, I think.
Wait, did you say Kelsey?
I said Kittle.
Oh, Kittle, that's right. Yeah.
But even then, with his age, like, it's one of those where do you balance that age versus youth going on? And
I mean, I know I'm gonna get hate for this, but the one I would consider taking over him or having Pitts. Him even with is Pitts.
That's right, we still got to see what he turns into now with a decent quarterback.
So I think those are the three, though.
You said Laporta, Hawkinson
are four. I feel like Pitts and Hawkinson are right on that level with him.
See, Hawkinson's a killer, though. Like,
he was with Kirk Cousins.
Well, and we haven't quite seen him yet, but I still, he killed it in Detroit. Everybody thought Jared Goff was awful there.
And also, we forgot to mention Trey McBride.
Oh, McBride is a good name to mention, yeah, because he showed what he was capable of down the stretch. So I think that's a really good point right there.
So I think I would take McBride over Bowers right now because I don't know where Bowers is going to land.
Okay. What about, let's throw out like a Dalton Schultz.
I'm taking Bowers.
Taking Bowers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys like to ride the youth train. I like to ride the proof train. The proof.
Okay, say you are a contender, one of the top three teams in the league.
That's like all my leagues. Just kidding. Just
kidding. And you have the, you know, 106, and Bowers is sitting there right there for you. But someone offers you Kelce straight up for that pick.
Oh, hell no.
No?
No, Kelce's, you got 1 year left. Kelce's...
You're not going to chase that ship?
Not with Kelce. No, I'd be better off doing it with the young guy. Because Kelce's not going to make or break my
We just said that rookies do not perform well.
I would take my chance on tight end plays versus trading something like that.
Okay.
Is what I like, just because the longevity. I'm someone who, if I have Kelce, I'm finding any way possible to sell him right now.
Okay, well, good to know. All right, we will move on then to our quarterback rankings. This is where it gets interesting. Like I had mentioned earlier, there is, probably around seven guys that could go in the first 2 days.
I think there's for sure six that will.
I like how I just noticed that my boy Manu put his tight end rankings as into the quarterback rankings as well.
He ain't got time for any of that.
So I'll go over his tight end ranking since we have him here. He has Eric Hall at 5, Ben Snod at 4, Jatavion Sanders at 3, Cade Stover he has at 2, and Brock Bowers at 1.
This man gave you some gold analysis. You're going to skim over that?
Because he put Brock B, massive dude, great blocker. Where's my favorite number?
Nice.
Tavion Sanders, he said small, allegedly. Allegedly. Jeez. He said, I'm not convinced yet, though. Homie has fucking hands.
Benson, allegedly. What we all thought. Elusive, athletic. Shit blocking, though.
And then Eric Hall said, man's not bad. Only thing that worries me is the back surgery and ACL stuff.
The injury.
Oh, no, there's nothing to worry about.
It makes sense.
So yeah, we'll go ahead.
Dude, I like his fucking number, his answer for Penix. Oh man, that's good. I think we should start with.
I like how this man has number 5 Drake Maine and number 4 Drake Maine.
Oh my god.
He liked two, so two different explanations too.
I'm assuming one of those is supposed to be JJ McCarthy, but we'll see.
I'm guessing it's probably I guess McCarthy's probably the Mac Jones Jr.
Probably. I don't know, we'll figure that
oh,
out.
Oh, that's too funny. Man,
I love Manu. But yeah, quarterback rankings. Well, let's see. Jose did a top 10. I did top 8. Hugo did top 10.
My top 7 are the 7 that you guys all have in your top 7.
Okay. We'll talk about the top 7 mainly. Michael Pratt is interesting, but, you know.
The only reason I did a top 10 was to include Sam Hartman. Just out of respect for him. He was like the only quarterback doing the drills at the combine. Running the 40. He's like the only one.
He's throwing to all the wide receivers. Yeah. Just working his ass off.
Didn't Milton do it?
Yeah. As far as 40, he might have been the only one. 40-yard dash.
Joe Milton's got a freaking cannon. The quarterback out of Tennessee. He's interesting. He's got the arm. I think he was at Michigan and then transferred to Tennessee. But yeah, he's cannon for an arm. But he's got to work on that accuracy, a few other things. Hugo had him at number 9, and that was really about it. And then, yeah, you put Sam Hartman because of respect. Jordan Travis, FSU, I just don't think he has what it takes to make it in the NFL. And, yeah, we'll go to the top 7. Let me see. I think we all... Do you have number 7 the same as ours?
Yep.
Okay. Number 7, we all have Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. At one time was a potential number 1 overall pick when he was with Oklahoma.
When he entered college, they talked about him as like he was going to be Tom Brady Jr. and come in and destroy the NFL.
That happens a lot more often than not, though. Stidham was regarded in the same light.
Was he? See, and he's the only one that I've ever seen like get talked about preseason so intensely as being like the number 1 pick when he went into college. It was unreal.
I will say I have him at 7. I was tempted to put him almost at 5.
Really?
Yeah.
That's big playability or what?
Big playability. I think he's got... I'll talk about someone else's footwork here in a little bit that I did not like, but his footwork I feel like was a lot better. I feel like South Carolina's offensive line was terrible. There was one game where I saw him just get absolutely just destroyed, but like he was stepping up in the pocket. I feel like he has good eyes and he's constantly, you know, trying to scan down the field, had to run more than he wanted to. I think he has the tools. He probably was the best performer out of all the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. I think he won the MVP of that game. So, yeah, Spencer Rattler, I have him at 7, but I could have made the case for him at 5 in my eyes.
To move him up.
Yeah. What do you guys think about him? 23 years old.
I think part of it is there's just going to be this connotation around him, like... Everybody kind of knows the name a little bit, and they kind of just think of him automatically, I think, as a bust, just based off of it. He had big expectations to live up to.
And here's one thing that I really don't like about him. I don't know because this was so long ago, but he was on the Netflix show QB1 when he was in high school. I absolutely could not stand his attitude. But, I mean, that's a high school kid, so hopefully he's matured, hopefully he's grown. But, yeah, I hope he doesn't have that still in him. He threw for 3,000 yards 3 seasons.
69% completion percentage, which is pretty good.
93 total touchdowns to 32 interceptions.
And his first year as a starter, he threw 28 touchdowns. That was his best year. I think that was the year prior to, like, when everyone was hyping him up. Before Caleb Williams took over his job at Oklahoma. I just think he has the tools to make it happen. It's just kind of what system does he go into? And
someone that...
Yeah, can he put it all together for a team, for a coach?
Mm-hmm.
And
get some confidence back.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I can find... this one doesn't have his sack numbers because he got destroyed.
I think he was sacked 40 times.
He'd also try to create in situations probably where if he learned how to go through his reads and be more consistent, then he wouldn't have to try to make big plays.
10% of his dropbacks he got sacked on.
That's a very high number.
Because you can fix technique and everything, but your mental, your decisiveness, you got to be on point with that.
I think a lot of it's not the physical, can he do it? It's will he accept coaching and the mental aspect of being a quarterback in the NFL.
Can he do what he's asked?
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, he could find himself in one of the teams that may have, like, a quarterback controversy down the line, and, you know, if that quarterback's struggling, fans could be calling for him, so he could have a chance to prove himself early, but, you know, just gotta see what he can do. What's happening in these interviews that these coaches are conducting as well.
Yep.
Number six, I think we all have the same person. Chowder, it's up to you. Do you have the same person at six as all?
Mine? No.
No?
No.
Okay, most of us. Not really. Most of us at six.
Who do you hate
more than us? Who do I hate more than you guys? I don't know. Probably the Bo Nix.
The rest of us have Michael Penix.
Michael Penix.
See, and I watched his games, and that's a dude like him.
He had some wild games.
He did.
He did, and there were some times where he just missed too many easy throws for me down the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it worked for Phillip Rivers, but he's kind of got like a interesting throwing motion that I think a quarterback coach is going to try and change up. How will that affect him? He had, you know, one of the best receivers that's coming into this draft, too. I mean, but he led Washington to the national championship game. Yeah. He fell just short. He did not play particularly well in that national championship game. And then there's always the injury history with him. I think multiple ACL injuries. How will that affect him in the pros?
I think this year kind of maybe shook off a little of that, though. Playing as much as he did, being able to stay healthy. I think the more impressive part I like about him is you brought up Rattler's sacks and everything. And so for somebody who dropped back the NCAA most at 555 and outside Bo Nix, there wasn't even another quarterback close to him with that many dropbacks. He got sacked 11 times. That's someone who knows how to avoid that stuff.
67 touchdowns the last 2 years. You want to see... I mean, his completion percentage wasn't too bad. 65%.
I think that just comes to your missing wide open throws that he did.
And he's coming in a little older than the other prospects at 24.
Yeah.
About to be 24. But is he left-handed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that spin. The receivers don't like that.
So yeah, there's been rumors of him having good workouts and potentially climbing into the first round, back of the first round, but I have to wait and see on that one.
I always find it hard when they say like people are climbing to the back of the first round, because there's normally not many teams that are in the back half that are looking for a QB.
It's usually someone
trading in. Yeah. Yeah, it's like Baltimore with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
they traded Paxton Lynch. Yeah,
or if anybody has like an aging quarterback that they, you know, want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like trying to think who even has that right now.
Outside of Jets, who they're not going to do it because they have way too much invested everywhere.
And last time someone drafted a quarterback early to go behind Rodgers, he was not happy.
Matt Stafford looking a little too comfortable.
That's not a bad one.
That actually, yeah.
So, could be a potential one there. But yeah, his stats were great. You know, I feel like he needs to also bulk up a little bit in the NFL. 213 is a little thin.
But a teen pencil.
But yeah, some people thought he should have been the Heisman Trophy winner this year.
He lit it up. I think he kind of was a downfall of a Pac-12.
Pac-12 was tough this year.
It was.
But Pac-12 is usually offensive-led teams.
Yep.
Washington probably had the best defense out of the Pac-12, besides maybe like Utah.
They had really good receivers also.
Yeah, so.
Weapons.
We will talk about Rome Odunze in a couple weeks.
Can you say that name again?
Rome Odunze.
I like it.
Number five, a guy that I don't even necessarily want to have him this high, is Bo Nix.
Bo Nixon.
We all have him at five. You have him at six, right?
Yep.
Manu has him at three.
Ooh, somebody's.
His thing was, I just think this dude is nice. I don't know if he thinks he's nice on the field or if he just thinks he's a nice guy in general.
But he looks like a nice guy.
He's got pretty good stats, not going to lie.
Look at that smile. Can you not? It looks like a fake smile, like a frat boy.
I don't like Bo Nix.
I'm just going to say it. Just three INTs.
That's nice.
And then 7 the year before and 3 the year before that.
3 INTs to how many touchdowns?
45.
But he couldn't get the job done against Washington. Not a single time. They played twice. Just couldn't do it.
Probably only throwing screens.
That's part of the reason I don't like him, is a lot of his stuff is the system where, you know, it's either getting the ball out quickly or just having that spread. And he had another fantastic receiver in Troy Franklin, who's going to probably be a high pick in this draft, who I think helped, like, his receivers helped him out a lot. But my main issues with Bo Nix and why I'm not a fan is his footwork. As I was mentioning earlier, he throws so much off of his back foot. And in the NFL, that's
crazy. Only having 3, and he does that
in the NFL. I don't think it's gonna work out.
How was he in college for, like, 5 or 6 years?
Yeah,
3.
It says 5.
He's 24.
Oh, well, maybe he missed seasons.
3 years at Auburn, 2 years at Oregon.
Oh,
part of the COVID year, maybe.
And he was, he was a starter every single year.
I forget about COVID year.
But yeah, his years at Auburn, 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 12 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 11 touchdowns, 3. And then it was when he got to Oregon where he really started blowing up.
71% completion percentage, too, because he was the second highest throwing quarterback in the NCAA last year.
That's my other issue, is when I was watching him, he was probably one of the quarterbacks that was the worst of just staring down his main read. And that's where he wanted to go. And his eyes didn't really, you know, go down the field and look around as much as some of the other quarterbacks. So
just the competition, Pac-12.
Yeah, and with the weapons that they had, I'm just not a fan. And between him, Rattler, and Penix, I went back and forth with where I wanted to even rank them.
See, and that's where I like the Penix more. I just... He's OG. I think with Penix, you just get a more...
Is he polished. Healthy? He's not even healthy right now.
Penix?
Yeah.
Pretty sure he is.
He had the injury in the national championship game. But he was thrown at his pro day.
Oh, okay.
I forget what the injury even was at for the national championship.
That was like a shoulder injury.
But he played the whole game. He played through it.
Yeah.
Which you like to see from your leader.
That's probably why I didn't even realize he got hurt in the championship game.
He played terribly.
Yeah, that was not a good game for him or the other quarterback that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But yeah, any other thoughts on Bo Nix?
Not really.
All right.
Have fun being a backup.
Yeah. That's harsh.
Number 4.
That's a really good gig.
I don't know where to go with number 4 because Jose has a guy 3 and 4. Me and Hugo have them flipped. Manu has the same guy at 5 and 4. Who do you have worse between Drake May and JJ McCarthy?
McCarthy.
Okay. I don't even know what to talk. We'll talk about both of them.
Yeah, they're both.
Since we have a split here between JJ McCarthy and Drake May. We'll start with, since we were just talking about the national championship game, we'll start with JJ McCarthy first.
There we go.
Okay.
I think one of my biggest complaints about him is he was a very system-ish quarterback, to where Michigan was so run heavy. What heavy lifting did he really have to do there? He
didn't have to do much, and I'm sure that's the knock on him a lot. But, I mean, people are saying that he didn't have to do much, but he could have done more. When I watched him, I think he made some of the, like, best throws that I saw out of any of the quarterbacks in the draft in terms of, like, fitting it into a tight window. And, you know, things like that. I think, obviously, you know, won national championship, so he's a winner.
Yep.
Which you like to see. I don't know if it's necessarily going to translate in terms of, like, fantasy football to him being, like, one of the top guys. But I think overall, as a quarterback, he will be better than Drake May, in my opinion. I mean, he's a smart guy as well. So, like, I mean, 11 interceptions in 3 years compared to 49 touchdowns.
When you kind of brought up a little bit that I do like about him is the control factor. Is he never forced stuff. He was very much in rhythm with what the offense was doing, which they were just built to pound the ball. Like, that's what they were built to do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a downfall, but...
And that might be what he's asked to do. You don't know where he's going to land, and he's like a better size, more athletic Brock Purdy with really good accuracy.
You want to see him add some weight to him because he's only 197.
Yeah.
We were talking about Penix, but yeah, he's got to add some weight to him. But 6'3".
He can run RPO. He's got speed.
Yeah, he's athletic, can make throws on the run. Very accurate. I think, you know, he finished 72% completion percentage this last year, which is, you know, fantastic. Almost 3,000 yards. Part of that, too, though, is just like Chowder was saying, with they didn't ask him to do as much to like fully lead the team.
Have you seen Michigan's O-line?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching them. I know exactly why, but... Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like he didn't get pressured a lot because of that O-line. Mm-hmm. But when he did, he handled it with, like, poise and, you know,
yep.
Knew when to step up, knew when to hit his check down.
Good decision making.
Yeah, just, like, does the right things.
So you think he's going to go in the first round? Because there's been a lot of movement of his name.
He's going to go top four.
What?
What?
100%. J.J. McCarthy?
Top four in the NFL draft.
Yes.
Damn.
Wow. That's a little high.
Guaranteed.
I mean, they're talking this one's going to be loaded, and the way they analysts talk about it, this is like a draft where some of these guys behind Williams would have been number one picks in different years. But I don't quite fully believe that. But.
Everything I've read and heard is he's going top five. That it's basically if the other three quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3, it's going to be whoever offers more between the Vikings and the Broncos to get to number four.
Weren't they saying that about Will Levis, though? He kind of moved up kind of like that, and then he ended up dropping.
I don't know. Like, Benjamin Albright, who I feel like when I follow his Twitter, he always, you know, is pretty accurate with his predictions, and he talks to, like, a lot of people around the league. He says that NFL, like, minds are a lot higher on McCarthy than most other people. So... I'm going to believe that, and I think he's going to go top five. So, yeah. We'll go to Drake May now, who I think has the better arm, who was asked to basically lead the team. He had a much better sophomore, I guess you can say, year than he did his junior year. But even then, I mean, sophomore year, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And then junior year, 24 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. One of my main issues with him was with the interceptions. When he gets pressured and when he gets, like, wrapped up, he makes very poor decisions and will throw it into traffic, into the defenders a lot. And then I just think his short throw accuracy is not where it needs to be.
You kind of see that with just his completion percentage in general, the accuracy.
Yeah, it went down to 63% from 66 the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his receivers did drop the ball a lot, and his offensive line wasn't great. I worry about the decision making. I mean, 9 interceptions doesn't say that he's terrible with it, but just from what I saw, like, he had a lot of throws that should have been intercepted that didn't get picked off.
Who knows if he's going to be able to run an offense at the line of scrimmage. He probably needs preset plays and just know where he's going ahead of time.
And that's one of the things with, like, young quarterbacks is they get in there and they start throwing interceptions. Their confidence, if that goes, that's usually what takes down a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, so
you might be looking to rush more. Then he didn't really run that much because he just put it up for his receivers. You got better talent in college or better chance against defenses.
That's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, just if you don't have that tight end or a good weapon that you trust, you're probably going to keep it and run more.
I mean, he did add 16 touchdowns on the ground.
I think that's one of the pluses of him, though, too. It's just the size factor, the 6'4", bigger than most.
We have him at 6'5", 220. So, yeah, he's one of the bigger quarterbacks in this draft, I think.
He's still only 21. Like, that's still...
That might be the biggest quarterback in the draft.
Yeah.
The size doesn't always matter. Anthony Richardson didn't really last the whole season.
Well, yeah. He also, Anthony Richardson just said, I'm going to take on NFL linebackers and go head on at them. So that wasn't smart.
We thought for sure Bryce Young was going to be the one getting hurt. But
jeez. I mean, yeah, but if you look at his year, his 2022 season, that's why there was so much hype on him. And would he take over the top draft spot from Caleb Williams? Mm-hmm. That was the talk when the college football season started this year. And that talent is there. It's just, which Drake May are you going to get?
Can you tap into the potential?
Yeah. So.
And that's the...
What makes you have him over J.J. McCarthy?
That he can be Josh Allen. J.J. McCarthy can never be Josh Allen.
I think it's the size difference is kind of one of the drivers of mine. Size and just knowing what McCarthy was asked to do.
McCarthy would be happy to hand it off at the goal line.
I mean, there's a difference when you have Blake Corum, though, versus I don't even know who North Carolina's running back is. So it's like...
Well, I couldn't even tell you a wide receiver there either. So,
and Michigan had a top running back who was one of the Heisman leaders, and then a receiver that was, who's probably going to be a day two pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see. I just like McCarthy's poise better. Once again, I am ranking these more in terms of NFL than I am fantasy
relevant
with these two, at least, because I think if Drake May does put it all together, he's going to be the better fantasy guy.
Yeah,
but we'll go ahead and get into number two. And that's who we all have, where we all have Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU, Heisman Trophy winner, projected number two pick.
I wanted to put him higher.
So one.
I wanted to, but I couldn't. I didn't analyze film as much as I needed to. At all.
I mean, he played pretty much 4 years.
He put together a Heisman season, but the others combined.
It's just, the same. You got 40 touchdowns to 4 interceptions this year, even with him throwing and doing crazy stuff.
Yeah,
you 72% have completion percentage, which you gotta like.
50 touchdowns overall this year.
Gotta include the rushing.
So 50 touchdowns to trying to see if there's fumbles. I don't see it there, but basically 4 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
He took care of the ball. He was great this year. Jaden, if you're listening, you cannot take these hits in the NFL.
That's the big word.
Go talk to RG3.
Learn how to slide. Okay. He had 1,000 rushing yards. This kid can do it all. There's going to be a lot of comparisons to Lamar Jackson. I don't know if he's... I mean, Lamar wasn't highly touted coming out of college in terms of like a top pick like Jaden Daniels is, but I think that's because Lamar has kind of turned
the page on that.
Yeah, and we have a lot more rushing quarterbacks going now. But
I think one of the things I like to see is looking at his stats just move year after year, and he goes from 60 in 19 as a completion percentage to a 65 to a 68 to a 72 each year, just getting better and better.
Yeah, it's
showing development.
It's impressive what he did last year.
Well, and then, like, even, like, from 22 to 23, he threw way more in 22, but he had better stats in 23 because he
was completing them at a higher rate.
Yep.
Yeah.
bigger clips, just average of 11.7 to throw. Like, that's
in terms of fantasy football, if he puts it together in the NFL, he's gonna be the top top guy from this class in terms of fantasy football.
Yeah.
If he's available to play the whole season.
Yeah. If he learns how to get down. Because he's 185 pounds.
Oh, that's
the smallest out of all of the quarterbacks. And he took the most punishment. He always got up from that punishment, but he cannot do this in the NFL.
Yeah, mine says 6'4", 210.
210?
Man, he must have that's put on a lot of McDonald's weight before the combine.
That is a major difference. where did you see 210 at?
PFF.
Okay.
Oh, even ESPN has him at 6'4", 210.
Okay, well, we'll say 210, he put on some weight.
He put on some muscle.
He got some weight. He still can't be taking those shots, though. He
still
can't,
no.
we see what they do to 240-pound quarterbacks, so.
Yeah. But he's a beast. And he's probably going to be the number two pick to the Washington Commanders.
Cliff Kingsbury would love him.
Yeah.
Man, Cliff's getting lucky with just showing up places and getting number one, getting top quarterbacks.
He handpicked Kyler Murray, right?
Yeah, because they had Rosen the year before.
Because there was talks of when he was at Texas Tech, and he was like, if I had the number one pick, I would take Kyler Murray, no doubt. And then he went and got the Arizona job.
Yep.
And took Kyler Murray, so. Speaking about Kyler Murray, that's my comparison for this next person, the number one on all of our lists, Caleb Williams.
Oh, that's not a good comparison.
It's not a bad comparison.
No.
Kyler Murray's a one healthy,
serviceable quarterback.
Pretty good quarterback. Make spectacular plays. I just don't think he's one of those guys. Caleb Williams has been hyped up as a generational talent. I just don't see him competing with the Mahomeses, with the Joe Burrows, with, you know, the top quarterbacks in this league year in and year out.
Just watching Pac-12, you just know the games that he just let slip away with at the end. Like, you just don't want to see that happen.
And even the CU game. They let CU make a massive comeback.
Which he doesn't play defense, but you still got to go offensively, go score.
Yeah, if you see them catching up, you got to go out there and put the pedal to the metal and just, you know, say, nah, this ain't happening. But, you know, there was a lot of that. There's a lot of questions about his character and this and that. I saw there was a report, though, that his teammates at USC loved him. So it's like, you know, that's kind of what matters more than the public perception.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, does, but at the same time, like, what are they going to really, are you really going to be like, no, he's a shitty teammate? Like, or is your coach going to be like, oh, he's a terrible, like, you're going to defend him, I guess. And so that's where it's also.
Yeah.
To be fair, I never heard him throw anybody under the bus or.
Yeah, no.
Really be a whiner, a complainer. He just, with the sense I got from watching him, sometimes he let things slip away because he just was kind of a little bit lazy about it and relied so much on his God-given talent that he could just make a play whenever he wants.
And you see, like, he makes some of the most spectacular plays that you'll see. But part of that, too, for me, is, like, he holds on to the ball way too long.
Mm-hmm.
There's just times where, you know, he's making that spectacular play and getting outside of the pocket and making that throw on the run because he was holding on to the ball. He had weapons at USC. Someone, like, she should have been able to get the ball out pretty quick, but.
But not like Keenan Allen or DJ Moore.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to go into a situation where he's got a lot of weapons, but that's also going to mean less excuses.
Hearsay. I think it's Jaden Daniels. Just kidding.
I think so. Less excuses. Chicago is a pretty tough sports town.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
Well, bringing up that, it's like, can kind of like Rattler coming out and having those expectations. Whoever goes to Chicago, be it Caleb or anybody, the expectations with that offense they've built are going to be so much higher than they are for any other kind of rookie coming in. Like, you've got, like you said, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. your skill position is loaded.
And they have the number 9 overall pick. They could add an offensive lineman if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it almost reminds you of the Texans situation the year prior with Stroud, and they got, I think, Will that's Anderson. Where
they've got to have the right, just everything needs to come together, though. That like, there together. Wasn't, there was zero expectation on C.J. Stroud coming out last year.
Because
when he got drafted, we all higher on
him. But the fact that he was a rookie quarterback, he did so well, now there's even more on Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the pressure mounting on whoever ends up in Chicago,
it's gonna be killer.
It's they've got to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
Out of all those rookie quarterbacks, who do you think can handle that situation, Caleb Williams?
Who can handle the pressure?
Yeah, of being in that spot.
That's where I say JJ McCarthy.
What?
I would say if he had to go in, he knows exactly what's expected of him. I think he could go in there and kind of. I think everybody makes fun of him about his breathing exercises and his meditation he does before games and everything. I think that's part of the reason why he's so calm out there. He's mentally just focused.
I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy is going to go out there and make the plays like Caleb Williams can, but he just knows what to expect. The pressure never was too big for J.J. McCarthy. Where Caleb Williams, we saw games where it just didn't go his way.
Yeah, but it's not the same talent at USC versus Michigan.
Yeah, but it also wasn't the same talent that they were playing against.
You also had, at Michigan, throughout the season, you had your head coach get suspended twice, miss a bunch of games. You had everybody saying you guys were cheaters because of the film deal stuff that never got solved because, obviously, the season ended. And then you have basically everybody else saying that they shouldn't be there. Like, everything was stacked against them to where all Michigan had to do was lose one game, and they were done, basically. Like, they were out of the... They weren't going to make playoffs. They weren't going to... Even in the playoffs, like, obviously one and done. But, like, there was a lot of distraction around that team that could have easily imploded on them. And that's where I guess you see the being able to handle it with him.
In terms of fantasy, we'll end it here. Caleb Williams is a top what quarterback? In Dynasty.
In Dynasty?
Yeah, he's a top what?
He's got to be like 20? Man,
that's 15? Tough.
20?
I was thinking somewhere around 15 would be it.
You
but
don't
I'd
think
have
he's
to,
a top 12 guy?
I could probably rattle off 12 that I would take over him.
In fantasy football.
In Dynasty, specifically? Yeah. All right, well, when we specifically bring in Dynasty, that it makes it tougher because
Kirk Cousins
drives me nuts. Because where do you really have him? He's fucking killer.
You have to take Caleb Williams over Kirk Cousins in Dynasty.
Yes, obviously.
It's just like, where does he fit in? Do you take Caleb Williams or do you take Justin Herbert?
Okay, Herbert. Some guys around there... Would you take Lawrence or...
Lawrence.
Prescott?
Caleb Williams.
Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams?
Oh, fuck. I mean, that's my comp, so...
That's a brutal one, because you just don't know what Arizona's going to do. If Arizona goes out and gets Marvin Harrison Jr., hell. I don't
know. Jordan Love?
Caleb Williams.
I'm not a big Jordan Love person, so... I'm not good at this because I don't... I'm not big on...
It's just basically if you had the 101 in a Superflex draft, are you trading for any of these guys, or if you take a number one, Caleb Williams? That's basically where you're at.
In a fantasy draft, I do think there's a very big heavy, like we talked about, for a Jaden Daniels over a Caleb Williams. But if you go in terms of who's going to give you the most production right away, I think it'll be a Caleb Williams. Hmm.
I think Caleb's career is going to last longer than Jaden Daniels.
That's the hard part.
So. I mean, it's like last year, I felt like Anthony Richardson just blew up in draft boards, and all of a sudden he was talked about getting drafted as the second, third quarterback, gone. Yeah. And so, like, it's
fantasy. Well, Anthony Richardson or Caleb Williams?
Good question. That's a very good one. But in terms of, I would go, I want to say Anthony Richardson, but I've also been somebody who I've been watching Caleb Williams, and I'm looking for the one thing that people are are missing of why is he, what's his flaw to a point?
You know DeAndre Swift's gonna fall down at the one. So Caleb Williams is gonna get a lot of touches.
No, he ain't. He ain't falling down at the one.
We're gonna talk about the running backs next week. It's a very weak class, just a heads up, but we'll try and find some sleepers, some diamonds in the rough, some people to talk about for the running backs.
We're talking about running back real quick. So the Kelsey podcast, they had Saquon on there, and basically they brought up, like, Kelsey brought up, he's like, just make sure when you're in there, don't drop at the one. Make sure you stop at the two or the three, because if you go to the one, you're not getting the ball again.
And that's the truth. And we'll be back next week. I don't know who's going to be here. We'll see. Might just be me by myself. I don't know. Peace out, everybody.
So we need to have a bucket so we can just pee right here.